Hailing frequencies open, and welcome to Star Trek Discoverage, the live podcast that boldly goes into excruciating detail about this week's episode of Star Trek Prodigy. I'm your host, Aaron Coker, a.k.a. Caliban, and once again, we've saved civilization, and the good news is they're not going to prosecute. Joining me on the show, as usual, is my co-host. She's also the co-host of the Generations Geek podcast, a more or less family-friendly celebration of geekdom. It's Ella Pearson. Ella, welcome back to Discoverage.
Thank you.
It is great to have you back. It is great to be back here at this very special day, the last day of Star Trek Prodigy for its first season. A day that in some ways felt like it would never come because it was a little confusing whether it was coming at all or there was going to be another brace of episodes that was going to come out, a tranche, if you will. But of course, we made it 20 episodes into this, the first season of Star Trek Prodigy. And I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
We'll, of course, have more to say about that as the show progresses. But first, here at the beginning of the show, of course, we have to get immediately into our new segment, the Toy Box segment. I'm going to share some more toys from the giant amount of Star Trek figures that I got for absolutely no reason from an admirer. Figure number one. Here we go. It is Vina.
Let's go.
As Orion Slave. The camera's backwards, so I got to put it like this. There you go. Yes, wouldn't you say this was worth a man's soul? There we go. I don't know what accessories she's got there, but looking pretty good. Second figure on the stack, I've got Odo, but specifically collaborator Odo from the episode Necessary Evil. So bad guy Odo there, but a little different outfit there. Next one up, I've got Lily. Just Lily. She has a last name. It is Sloan. It is Lily Sloan, Zephram Cochrane's assistant. Please. But anyway, that one is I might get to play with that one because the box is kind of opened up there.
Nice.
And if that's not enough for you, how about the man himself, Zephram Cochrane? He does come with the good stuff. A bottle of, let's see, effervescent fermented Terran grape juice. So enjoy that, kids. That's fun. And last but not least, I've got Captain James Tiberius Kirk himself in the wraparound. Right there in the wraparound outfit. So take it easy. Have seconds or thirds at Thanksgiving. You got the wraparound to protect you there. So
yeah, that's the Christmas uniform.
Yeah. So anyway, that's feeling pretty good about that. Do you have any Star Trek figures? It's okay if you don't. It's okay if you do.
In my home where I live, I only have the infamous, which I think we talked about these before, the Star Trek Barbies.
Oh yeah, that's
that
right.
I was not allowed to have as a child that I got gifted, I think, not this year, but last year for Christmas.
That's great.
But I don't know how to have them out, like having Barbies on display.
Yeah.
Even Star Trek Barbies. I don't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
So they sort of sit in my closet. I mean, my closet door, I always have my closet door open so I can see them. Like from here, I can see them. But like they're in the box. I haven't taken them out.
That
it seems a little... Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, present company accepted. I mean, your father certainly has no problem showing his love for the merchandise that he's gathered over the years.
He's got the room though. He's got the office.
Yeah, that's true.
Everything in it.
Yeah.
And I've got like my little bedroom, and of course, I doubt that the roommates would rock with the Star Trek Barbies in the living room.
Yeah.
None. So I got about one shelf in here.
That's the struggle. None is fine. A lot. Is fine because then it's kind of your thing. In the middle, you know, a handful, a couple dozen, we don't know. So I don't know. Now that I've got like 25, I'm not sure which side of the divide I'm on, but I'm afraid to even contemplate it. Let's talk about the news in the world of Star Trek. And I've got a bit of news that is specifically related to the episode that we watched tonight. So we're going to enter the spoiler zone early, listeners, because this is going to relate to what we're going to talk about with the events of the episode. But CinemaBlend.com, the website, was talking with the Hageman brothers, specifically with Dan Hageman, the showrunners and creators of Star Trek Prodigy, about the show and about the fact that originally in this episode, they had written and planned that the kids would become Starfleet cadets by the end of the episode. And of course, that was later sort of altered to then being warrant officer in training, whatever that means. That doesn't really mean anything, but that's okay. They are being accepted and they're going to get to kind of, I don't know, post-secondary, I guess, do a little extra work at Starfleet Academy. And the person who influenced the writers of the show to make that change was friend of the show and New York Times bestselling author, David Mack. Specifically, Dan Hageman said, he said this in the interview, originally, yeah, we had them getting accepted into Starfleet Academy, and our advisor, David Mack, was like, whoa, 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 let's talk about this. This is not yeehaw. And he explained his case, and we're like, okay, you're right. That maybe it was, it wouldn't diminish necessarily the, you know, amazing accomplishment of becoming a Starfleet cadet and being accepted into the academy, but it is kind of a big deal. And so maybe that's something that they can build to. And they go on to say, you know, in the interview that, yeah, actually that is probably better for the show. That gives us somewhere to go with the characters and doesn't jump them forward too fast. What do you think about the decision they made?
I think it was good. I mean, obviously Mac knows what he's doing.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But I also think even what they did, I was kind of like, I was surprised how fast it went. Like, I was like, whoa, where, what? They're just like, Janeway's just got them under her wing.
Yeah.
So I think it was like, but at the same time, it's like, if they hadn't have gotten to do something with Starfleet Academy, it would have felt like a letdown.
Yeah.
So it really, I feel like it's like the perfect medium, you know?
Yeah, especially for, yeah, definitely. And the fact that it's like a kid's show, you know, it became their goal, you know, as we've talked about throughout the entire season here to get there and to be acknowledged. And so, yeah, I think the choice that they made is a good balance between achieving what they wanted to achieve, but not necessarily becoming you're an admiral and you're an admiral and you're all get your own ships and everything like that. So, you know, we'll get to see where our characters go from there. But let's talk specifically about our episode. Oh, I should say, David Mack, advisor for the show, has a new book out called Harm's Way. It's getting rave reviews, and it's available wherever you get your books. So don't say that I never did anything for you, Dave. We've just seen the final episode of the first season of Star Trek Prodigy. It's an episode called Supernova Part 2, and we're going to talk all about it. And as I mentioned previously, spoilers for the episode are incoming. The official synopsis for Supernova Part 2 is, as the Federation hangs in the balance, the crew must make the ultimate sacrifice to save Starfleet's future. This episode was written by Kevin and Dan Hageman and directed by Ben Heben. No star date for this episode. We don't have time for that. We got to get right into what's going on. And I should just mention a couple facts about the episode. I didn't notice this personally. I'm going to look for it when I watch the episode again. But apparently there was an Enterprisian in the same class of the Academy as Rock Talk. The Enterprisians, of course, we met in the episode All the World's a Stage. The beings who have developed their entire society around meeting these people from this this ensign from the Enterprise. And so that's an inspiring story. Also, there's a character in the episode named Dr. McDonald, who is advising the kids. And that character is voiced on and based on former show guest Aaron McDonald, the scientific advisor for Prodigy and many other Star Trek shows. So, yeah, neat. Let's get right into it. What did you think about Supernova Part 2?
I liked it. I felt like for me, personally, I thought the pacing across the two-parter was a little off. Like, I would have, the last episode, I would have cut at, like, them leaving, like, the protostar blowing up or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was a little bit like watching this episode, it felt like I started the episode and it could end at any minute. Like, it kind of, the whole thing kind of felt like,
yeah,
any scene could have been the final scene, which was good.
A little,
in the way that it's
a little,
like,
Return of the King-y.
Exactly. It's like every scene was like emotional and like fantastic. But I also was like, when, how, like I at like 11 minutes, I paused it and I was like, oh my, I'm only halfway through.
Yeah. And there were some specific, just fades to black in between scenes. Like, I thought, I was like, is it over or is there a commercial? Is this a commercial bit? Of course, there's no commercials. But I think they sensed that too. And they're like, nope, stop. Now we're going to move to the next part. Yeah. I think that it probably would work really well if you just watched them back to back, one and two together.
Yeah, maybe right.
And I don't know. They've done that before in Trek. I don't know if their deal is with Nickelodeon where it's probably got to be split apart. But I bet that it makes a nice long third act for the setup, you know, in the first episode with all the action and stuff. Very creative solution to their problem, a solution that seems like it might cause more trouble than the initial idea of just having it blow up, creating a supernova or a nebula, whatever the structure is that they've created, a rift. Hopefully it's not by any inhabited systems, but they didn't seem to mention anything like that, so I'm sure it's fine. And also having it be the answer to our question, which was, you know, how are they going to end this and what's in season two? And the answer is, we get everything. The kids get to be involved, get to develop themselves as Starfleet officers. And we get a literal doorway, it seems, in the form of a wormhole to the future, where we can find out what's going on with Chakotay. So we're all set up for the next mission. A mission that, I like the fact that Janeway's just going to get right in there. They must have known when they made Janeway an admiral, like, she's not going to, don't even buy a desk. She's not going to sit behind a desk.
No, never.
She's just going to run out there. It's like, Jane, you're not supposed to do this. You're supposed to be back here yelling at people on a screen, you know, a little screen. You're yelling at them. She's like, no, I'm going to get out there and do it. So right away, she's like, I'm going to be on that mission. Everybody's like, probably, okay, yeah. We knew you were going to be on that mission. It was really great to see another protostar. It's a little like, you know, it's a little Trek movies where the ship blows up and we got a new ship. But they made the point that it was a prototype, obviously. So they're just going to build a new one. And so we'll see more than one protostar class, maybe, in upcoming episodes.
Did you feel the reveal of them blowing up the protostar? And I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we've talked about that as an option, but they did it. And for some reason, I was like, is that what we can just, that's allowed?
Yeah.
It had never occurred to me.
Yeah.
And then, but then obviously the reveal of the actual protostar.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And it was an interesting solution because I feel like in the same way that, that Trek, you know, past the 25, 30, 40 year mark, is Trek that is able to draw on like the tropes and the things that we expect. You know what I mean? It's hard to sort of find a new application of the technology, a new tactic that you don't just name the blank maneuver or something. And so, you know, as fans, we're like, they could just self-destruct the ship. You know, they could just, you know, just blow up the ship. But I like the fact that they didn't immediately jump to that, like I think any modern character on another show would. And also, you know, I don't know where they're at as far as it being kind of a dark solution for a children's show. They eventually, you know, did that anyway, but it was really creative, I thought, doing what they did, which was kind of like, you're just popping the clutch really late. You know, we're going to let the engine just really build up and basically explode as it sort of throws itself away. But they never really even suggested that. And I would imagine Hologram Janeway being like, you know, not even, maybe that was an option, but she's like, I'm not going to tell these kids to blow themselves up. What a horrible thing. What a horrible thing to have to present to these kids. I really, really liked, speaking of tropes, you know, the getting chewed out over in for a tribunal, but then getting off scot-free because he saved the universe. You know, we've seen that before. But I liked the idea and the speech that Janeway gives, which is these kids are like the embodiment of the whole thing that we're doing here. And the fact that all they had to this, they're the greatest recruitment ad for Starfleet ever. You know, they found a ship. They met, you know, the elements of Starfleet and went, we want to do that. And they traveled all the way across the galaxy and saved everybody in the process and still want to, you know, join this organization and do more. Like it's just perfect. Like we can't not let these kids get in. And I was really fascinated too and surprised by the idea of, I never thought before, I can't remember who it is that makes the point. Maybe it's Rock Talk, but they say like, it's a protostar and we're just letting it become what it will eventually be. We're letting this young star grow up. You know, it was a kid star. Even the star was a kid. It was a protostar. Oh, that's so good. Like, I love stuff like that. That was really great.
Yeah, I feel like last episode was so intense. It was so easy to kind of like forget that it's a Nickelodeon show, and it would have been, or is, does it air on actual Nickelodeon ever? It must, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That it is like, you know, a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah.
And so then to watch this one where they are, despite them getting sort of into Starfleet at the end, like to watch this one where they are kids, and yeah to be like, it's a young star, it's growing.
I read from the episode last week, I read that one of the reasons that the Diviner's body sort of evaporates is because they realized as they were writing it that he dies at the end of like the first act, and then you're just gonna have a corpse on the bridge for the rest of the show. And they're like, I don't think we can do that. So that's a little too dark. So what if he just like, oh, this is something that this species does. They just Obi-Wan Kenobi and disappear when they die. So they're always thinking about that sort of thing. I like that they're like,
corpse on the bridge.
Yeah. Just okay. Don't trip over him.
Okay.
I like the fact that, that one of the admirals was like, this isn't just some space camp that just kids can just run up and just do whatever. And so they sort of like, I don't know if they've got criticism like that, but they sort of like contain the criticism within the thing. They're saying, no, no, we understand. Like, it's an important thing, you know, being accepted to the Academy. There's a wait list, but look at these kids. Like, we let geniuses in, I'm sure. You know, we want to get Wesley Crusher and people of real value in here. So let's give them this program where they can, you know, do stuff. Still, play with things and, you know, like a magnet school for these kids, I guess. I don't know. what else happened? Yeah, I was a little worried they were going to go to space juvie there for a little bit, but it worked out okay.
That would have been funny though.
We have to talk about it. So did hologram Janeway get done dirty, or did she go out the way that she wanted to go?
I don't know. I thought it was nice. Like, it added some suspense to the episode. It's a little hard, I think, to be attached to that. Like, I wasn't super sad about it. I think just because we have real Janeway.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't really hit the same. I don't know. I don't think she got done dirty. I don't know. I guess I didn't really, I just was like, well, that's, you know, tragic. Good plot point. I don't really think about it beyond that.
Yeah. And I think that it was, I don't know. I feel like it's a little bit like we do have regular Janeway. So what do we need? Holographic Janeway, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I think there would be a precedent for having both characters, and maybe the show doesn't want to, it's just not interested in doing another like doctor type story where a hologram character becomes more human as we go. Like, we've kind of done that already. So yeah, maybe she was just a device, you know, literally for the first season, but I do think it was really interesting to see her development and to see the connection that they had with her and have that I always just marvel at the fact that there aren't really what we think of as like AI or intelligent computers in Star Trek. They don't call them that, but with the introduction of like the holodeck and the EMH and characters like that, you know, we basically have that at this point. And so having a character like Janeway, who is emergency something, is she a command hologram? I can't remember what she is, but
I don't remember either.
Having her be able to make that choice, do they give the Kobayashi Maru test to the computer? Do you know what I mean? Basically to have her make that choice and be programmed, or to just have developed, you know, the ethics and the feelings to just say, I'm not going to get out of this one, even though I can't just print a bigger hard drive for some reason. We've got replicators, but whatever, we get it. I'm not going to get out of this one. And I'm going to have to lie to the people that I'm supposed to tell the truth to. That was really neat. And we definitely probably would have hit that beat a couple more times if we had an hour, but there's just so much going on in this show. But they gave it plenty of time, and the scene in the shuttlecraft was really poignant and touching. And yeah, we got the real Janeway, so like you said. Like,
exactly.
You know, it'll be okay. She's got a little gray in her hair. She looks distinguished. what else? I was a little... I think it makes sense, but I was a little surprised that, you know, that Gwyn wouldn't be joining them, and she's kind of going on her own. her own mission. And it's Star Trek, so we've got time travel, of course, and so we get to find out, maybe we get to meet the Diviner as a younger man, you know, maybe we get to...
That would be creepy.
Yeah, we get to see her interact with her planet, you know, I don't know, we still don't have the story, we know when he came back and she was sort of created, right? I think just like cloned? So we don't...
It's something like that.
Yeah, we don't know if she's ever even visited her homeworld, I don't really know, but that's...
No, she hasn't, right?
Yeah, so that's definitely, that was like a good choice, even though it doesn't really make, Murph is a Warren officer? Like, I don't know, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
I know, I was like,
if you only had five spots.
I was like, yeah, five, yeah. And then Murph is there.
Your dog's not like getting Murph. In. yeah, right.
Also, Murph, like, I don't know if it's like Uncanny Valley, but Murph, maybe just the idea of Murph, but kind of freaks me a little bit. Like, this episode, is he growing, like, up?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know.
Because this episode, I was like, Murph is huge.
Yeah. Maybe we, so season two, we get.
Tall and large.
We get Chad Murph. Who knows? Yeah.
Chad Murph, the third evolution of Murph.
Yeah. In the chat, Mikanana says, Admiral Janeway has a shotgun, not a desk. Yeah. I think, well, she's got the shotgun under the desk, taped under there for if the meeting goes wrong. But yeah, definitely that's her style. The score was really great. I guess I'm not usually paying attention to that, but I thought that was really great. And when they went to Starfleet Academy, I felt like there were like elements of, I was detecting like TOS movie scores.
Oh, they had
some of the Wheedly Wheedlies, the
Wheedly Wheedlies.
James Horner touches. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was really good.
Do you think next season they're going to cut between like, the gang and Gwen, or do you think that like we'll at some point run into her, or we'll get like a one-off episode with her things, or that she'll come back to Starfleet?
I don't know. I think that they've stayed pretty tight on, you know, the group, you know, throughout the entire first season. And the first time they ever really broke off is when they introduced Admiral Janeway, you know, in the end of the first half of the season. And then they kind of cut back to her and expanded a little bit. So, yeah, maybe they will do that with Gwen. I'm wondering if they'll just have a runner with Chakotay. Like, he can't just be this voice that we keep hearing. Like, we're going to have to actually see his circumstances mm-hmm. at some point. So I'm wondering if there'll be more work for Robert Beltran in the future. But I also wonder.
That, yeah, that's got to be a season two, maybe second half of season two. I feel like they're holding out on it.
Yeah, but I also have to wonder if the more simplistic structure of the show, you know, their philosophy is just, well, just, you know, let's keep it on our kids. I wouldn't mind seeing that either way. I'm actually like I was a little dubious when they announced that, you know, Chakotay would be part of the show, but they've enticed me enough where it's like, all right, I want to see.
Oh
it.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
All right, bring
I think
out.
Also. I think for me, and I like Chakotay, I like Voyager, I'm excited to see him again, but I think the driving force is the Janeway Chakotay reunion. Yeah. Right? It's like that's what I want to see.
Yeah. And which show's going to do it? If you don't need the actor to come in, is it Lower Decks or Prodigy that's going to give Harry Kim his promotion? Like, well, I'm amazed that Lower Decks hasn't just done that yet, like as an offhanded comment. But yeah, maybe get...
But would they give him the promotion, or would he, like, be a Lower Decker? You know,
he's still running around, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's it. Oh, there you go.
They're on another ship, and they're like, is that Harry
Kim? Don't blow... Yes,
he's,
yes.
like, sleeping in his bunk.
Always think about your episode. So, yeah. So, get Garrett Wong back, and then they have an episode of Lower Decks where he comes on as a specialist, and he's an ensign, but he's, like, a senior ensign, and so he can boss them around. They're like, this guy, what's going on here?
Senior ensign.
Yeah. I like that. Let's talk about the future. Any guesses, sky high ideas, speculations about what we might see in season two?
I would love. I'm expecting a time jump. You know, because I think that they'll have to be a little bit more comfortable in their roles. I think that a time jump, and then their cadets would be fun. I'm interested to see if what they do with Gwen. But yeah. I don't really know. I would love to see them. I don't think this will happen. I would love to see them, a time jump of them having worked on separate ships. And then, like, now they're coming back together to go with Janeway to, like, get Chakotay or something, like, Dream Team. But I'm not sure. I mean, they could really do, they could do a lot going from, I felt like they left the end of the episode. It was, like, it went pretty decently open-ended, you know, as far as where they would go. What about you?
I don't know, but I have to say something. So I'll say that I wonder if they have shown no restraints as far as introducing elements, you know, of the world that we know. You know, this show started with something totally new, but as soon as they had access to the neutral zone, Romulans, you know, I read it. I didn't realize it, but I guess like one of the sovereign classes was the Enterprise-E. The Defiant was in a previous episode. So they've had no problem digging into that stuff. But I wonder if they'll continue to do that. You know, they could just as easily just make this another Alpha Quadrant, you know, Star Trek show, but just with our kids instead of not. But I wonder if they'll use the wormhole and the Protostar's ability to cover vast distances to once again isolate the crew and continue to sort of play in their own playground. And I kind of hope that they do that. Like, it was fun to see San Francisco again. It was fun to have them be validated by the higher ups at Starfleet. But I think that these kids work good when they're out there on the edge and they don't, you know, they don't know what they're going to run into.
Yeah, I think also because, you know, we've had the whispers on the wind of the Starfleet Academy show.
Yeah.
And so if they're going to do that, then like, no way can Prodigy stay bonking around at, because then it's just two Star Trek Academy show, unless this is going to become the Star Trek Academy show. But I hope not, because I would love a live action one.
That's something that the Hageman said in that interview as well, is that once they had sort of made that change, they also realized that it would sort of get out of the way of the Starfleet Academy series, which I soft confirmation that the Starfleet Academy series is actually going to happen, which we have literally been talking about for 5 years since we started this show. So somebody directly involved with the planning of the future of Star Trek has said Starfleet Academy. So the other bit of good news is everybody hates the new Witcher spinoff. So maybe Michelle Yeoh is going to have some time in her hands and can do the Section 31 show. So things are looking up for us. Yeah. I think that's pretty much all that I had to say. You know, how do we praise this too much? I think this is just really great. And the best praise that I could give it is, I think that this is now, in my mind, the best first season of a Star Trek show. I know, better than Enterprise. I know, I'm a weirdo that thinks Enterprise has one of the strongest first seasons, but I think that this is really strong, and we got a real good sense of all these characters. They're all interesting. We want to follow them, and there's promise for the future. And so, yeah, I mean, kudos all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic work. And from such a huge team, like, yeah, amazing.
Yeah. And they said to go boldly. So they got the grammar correct on that one. So, well, I think that's pretty much all that we have to say for this episode and for this year. So thanks for joining us, listeners. If you like what you hear, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at EISTPOD for updates and to get notified when new episodes of both Enterprising Individuals and this show, Star Trek Discoverage, are released. While you're on the internet, why not head to your listening platform of choice and subscribe to our show feed. Give us a rating and a review, because it really does help us out. And as always, if you like the show, tell a friend. Discoverage will return on February 16th for the first episode of the third season of Star Trek Picard. We don't know anything about it, except, of course, for the fact that it will eventually feature the original cast of TNG. So look forward to that. We'll be here at that time, that Thursday night, to cover it. Going live at 8 p.m. Central, so join us then. You can follow us on Twitter or Facebook at EISTPOD to get notified when we are live and broadcasting. In the meantime, why not check out our main show, Enterprising Individuals, at enterprisingindividuals.com. Every Wednesday on the show, I and a special guest discuss in excruciating detail a selected episode from a Star Trek series. We also have news from the Trek sphere and interviews with special guests. Our most recent episode just dropped, and it's our year-end show. We're looking back at the last year of Star Trek and Enterprising Individuals, with appearances from former show guests like Pete the Retailer, David Mack, Adam and Ben from The Greatest Generation, Sasha Wood, Gooey Fame, Darren Mooney, and more. You can find that show at enterprisingindividuals.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Ella, thanks as always for joining me to talk about Star Trek Prodigy, and remind people they can find you online.
Yeah. So my other podcast is called Generations Geek, and I started doing it. I was about 13 or 14 with my dad. And then when I was up north for the holidays, we recorded our first and last episode of 2022 because I've been so busy. And so I go over Comic-Con and the big Chicago Star Trek, you know, Mission Chicago convention.
Yeah.
And just like all of the crazy things, crazy cool things that have happened to me this year. So everyone should go listen to that.
Yeah. Check that out. Brand new episode of Generations Geek. So yeah, check that out. I'm at K-A-1-I-B-A-N on Twitter. Also subscribe to us here on Twitch and hit the bell so you get a notification when we go live. I stream video games every weekday at 12 p.m. It's called the Laser Lunch Hour, so join me for that. Also, we're on at other times. And also, I wanted to mention that I've got it. There it is. I've got Star Trek Prodigy Supernova, aptly named. I wonder if they had a question, a note about that. But
Have you played it yet?
I have, yeah. We streamed it a little bit, and it's a lot of fun. And it's a great two-player game. So we'll be playing that as well, other Star Trek games. So join us here on Twitch. That's it for us. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great new year. We'll see you in 2023. And we are signing off. This is Aaron Faella saying live long and prosper.